Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 41 to 52. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. There's a copy of that underneath some of the chairs, starting on page 1019. The boy Jesus in the temple. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, they were returning. The boy stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group. They went a day's journey, but then they began searching for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" They did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, you confounded the so-called wise men then, and you confound the so-called wise men even now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Give us ears that hear, that we might grow devoted hearts that obey. Speak now through our pastor. Give him physical strength. Fill him with your spirit as he brings forth the word from you to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some of us in our homes, we have a safety deposit box. And in this box, we have all of those important papers, letters, pictures, documents. And it's to keep them secure, but also in case of a fire, the box is also fireproof to make sure those documents do not get damaged and we have them. Now, these are documents that, even though they're secure, they're not something we look at every single day. Now, that box represents, to some degree, the family's treasure. Right, and these are the things that are important to us. Sometimes we will find the deed in this box, our passports, birth certificates, sometimes special pictures from times past. And we keep them there so that they're secure. And as much as we secure them, that sense of safety is the same thing that Mary was doing with these different events that she would treasure up in her heart. Now, we need to be careful because not everything is a treasure. Sometimes we are treasuring things that are, according to scripture, would be more trash than treasure. And we need to remember that when we are measuring the things that we are treasuring up, everything is being measured to Jesus. Are you treasuring Jesus the way Mary treasures Jesus? To be able to store up. Even sometimes when the thing we are storing up goes beyond our ability to even understand, to comprehend. When we look at that word in the Greek, right, to treasure up, it's to keep, to preserve. And this is what Mary was experiencing. And we hear it a couple times. We hear it, you know, in the Christmas story as the shepherds went to find the baby. And scripture says that she treasured up these things that were spoken about Jesus. And here's the second time that we hear this phrase that Mary is treasuring up. And in the end, the question you have to ask yourself is what captures your heart? Right? There's so many things that we can give our attention to, so many things that can distract us from here to there. But what has your attention? When we look at this specific scripture, right, it's like as Greg was reading, right, it identifies Jesus as a boy, right? And there's a theological term, the hypostatic union, that you and I have to come to terms with, right? That Jesus was 100% God and 100% human. He was not 50% God, 50% human. He's not every once in a while God or human. He's always God and human. He's God and human even today. You know, and so when we think of Jesus, right, Jesus experienced everything that a human would experience and did not sin. But Jesus also, in his divinity, did certain things that only God could do. Jesus would heal a man with leprosy. He would raise the dead. He would control the weather. But then we also see Jesus needing to eat and needing to rest. But there's nobody other than Jesus that experienced this. And this is the very one we are looking at this morning. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, they were returning. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Right? So they were following the customs that were set in place. And somewhere around 11 and 12 year old, when the boys would then go with their parents to Jerusalem, because at the age of 13, they would be set aside and they would become children of the covenant. So what we see is the family going up to Jerusalem. But right away, when you start to see Jesus in the Passover is about Jesus. Those two are never separated. When we see Jesus going to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is about Jesus. Everything that was happening in the life of Jesus was pointing to what he eventually would be accomplishing for you and for me. When we think of Passover, we also think of this table that you and I will share in a little while. So they would go to the temple, and you can see that at the end, right, the family would then be returning home. And sometimes these journeys would take 2-3 days. And they were always in a caravan. It was always the extended family and friends that would go together to Jerusalem, right? So it wasn't something where you would be aware of everybody because you would be walking, traveling together. And usually the son at this time would be with the dad. But prior to that, he would have been with the mom, right? So nobody's really thinking, where is Jesus? Who has him, right? His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him, right? So as a parent, have you ever lost your child, right? And all of a sudden, it just wells inside of you, at, like, where are they? Where is he? Where is she? Right? And you start asking questions. I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. Right? And all of a sudden, you start backtracking, looking. Right? It's, you start asking everybody, did you see him? He was wearing this. She was wearing that. So they go through all the relatives. Joseph and Mary are asking each other. Now they're a day away from Jerusalem. And all of a sudden they make the decision, we got to go all the way back. Right? It's, we got to go find him. After 3 days. Right? It's amazing that scripture would highlight after 3 days, because for you and for me, after 3 days, so much can happen. So much can happen in the believer's life after 3 days. After 3 days, Jesus conquered sin and death after being put in a borrowed tomb. All of it points to Jesus and what he is going to accomplish for us. Right? It's after searching and looking. Did you see him? Sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Right? So during that time of Passover, the Sanhedrin would gather and they would ask and entertain any questions that people would have. And Jesus would find himself sitting in the midst of them. And he would start asking them questions. And these are questions that are beyond what they would assume a 12-year-old would be asking. Right? And But all who were engaged with him were amazed. Right? Now, when we ask ourselves, what are the things that we treasure? Right? As you read scripture, are you amazed by the things you find in reference to what Jesus conveys to us through his holy word? Are you amazed? Are these the things that you and I treasure and keep in our heart? Or do we just read it almost like to check a box off, or sometimes for some of us, it just has layers of dust on them? Are you amazed by what God's word conveys to you and to me? Because it is only in God's word that we get and receive what is called the special revelation, the reality that Jesus Christ came to provide a way where there was no way. All of them were like, who is this young man? And when his parents saw him, they were astonished, right? Because not only do we get amazed by what Jesus is saying, but then we also get astonished, right, by what we are receiving from him, right? And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" Right? There's so much in these verses. Right? The mother says to him, "Son, why have you treated us so?" Right? Sometimes that is the same question we have to God. God, why do you treat me like so? Why have you allowed certain things to happen? Right? Lord, I prayed and I was looking for an answer, and the answer you provided is not the one I was looking for. Lord, I've been praying and seeking you, and I'm still waiting and seeking you. Why do you treat me so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. You can feel the emotional heartbeat of the mom and dad looking for Jesus, wondering, right, where he's at. And then Jesus said to them, "Why are you looking for me?" Right? It's amazing that it's a question that echoes God when he came across Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Right? It's the same question that's being asked of us today. Like, where are you today? Are you looking for me because of faith, or are you looking for me because of fear? Why are you looking for me? Are you looking for me because you need something from me, or are you looking for me because you want to worship me? Why are you looking for me? And then Jesus said, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Imagine the theological tug in Joseph and Mary's heart at that moment. Right, all of the things that the angel Gabriel said to them in reference to how Jesus would come to be, and all of a sudden Jesus at the age of 12 is saying, "I must be of my Father's business." Right? And here's the thing, right? Even though Jesus did not go with Joseph and Mary when they left, his actions, according to scripture, is he still did not sin. because he was doing the Father's will. So why have you treated me this way? Right? That some of us have those questions deep down in our heart, and we even ask ourselves, do I have a right to ask a holy God this question? But here's the thing, Scripture tells us that it's okay to ask this question. Right? Because sometimes you and I go through difficult situations in life and there is no answer. After all the searching, after all the seeking, there is no answer. And we look to God and go, why? Why have you treated me this way? Why have you taken me to where I'm at right now, Lord? And we struggle with that. And these are some of the things that you and I have to also treasure in our heart, right? To take in. Not to use as a tool to distance ourselves from God, but to use it to draw ourselves closer to God. Where are you, God? Why do you treat me this way? Can't you see that I go to church, I tithe, I do service? Why, Lord? Why is my health not getting better? Why are my relationship with my family or extended family broken? Why? Lord, is there a prayer that I need to pray so that you would answer it? Why? Why have you treated me this way? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them, right? Sometimes you and I are not going to understand God. Right? We're just not going to get it. Right? And with that, they just came to terms like, okay. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Right? Everything that she had just experienced, she just gathered all of that. And she just said, you know what? I don't understand, but maybe in time I will. Right? Can you imagine what it would have been to be the mother of Jesus? Now, I'm not saying to elevate her. I'm not talking about worshiping her. I'm not talking about having her be the one to intercede on your behalf. I'm not talking about that, right? I'm just saying to imagine what it must have been to carry Jesus, right? And to know that Jesus, her baby boy, would be also her savior, right? Because she also needed saving because she was a sinner. Right? So she treasured all these things up. And the scripture would remind us, right, that Jesus would increase in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with man, right? It's that piece of his 100% humanness as he's learning, as he's gaining wisdom, right? And again, and as I look at these verses, there's portions of it that I fully can't even understand. because he's 100% God also. But in the end, right, it's we are called, according to these scriptures, right, to treasure certain things in our hearts. And it brings us back to these verses. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. What are you amazed of when you read and hear the words of Jesus? What are you astonished over? In a few minutes, we are going to come to this table, right? And his birth, right, points to also what we are going to celebrate in a few months, Easter. It's hard to believe we're talking about Easter, right? But here's the thing. When we talk about Easter, it's going to get warmer, right? So it's going to be good, right? Yeah. So as we are treasuring these things in our hearts, and as we are looking at the start of 2026, right, some of us have these resolutions, and some of us have some new membership, gym memberships, that we're hoping that we're going to visit the gym more than we make the payments, right? That's what we're hoping, right? You know, we're hoping that this year we're going to make a dent on all of our bills, right, and lower the amount that we owe. And we're going to do work on our health and family, right? But I think out of all of those things that we can do, right, there's a set of questions that we should ask, right? And it's these, right? It's, what are you astonished and amazed over, right? And as you answer those, right, it should lead us to this. What or who am I, right? It's, who are you? Who are you in Christ, right? It's, for some of us, we see the answer based either that we are a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a co-worker, right? It's, but who are you, right? And my hope is that your interaction with Jesus, right, as you read his word, that for 2026, that you would be astonished, that you would be amazed, right? And as you answer these questions, right, here's what you need to use as a measuring gauge, right? Don't let anything other than Jesus be the thing that highlights your responses here. Right? Who and what am I, right? When I look at these questions, is I am a child of God, right? That's who I am. I've been saved and redeemed by his blood. I'm a sinner to the core of my being, right? And he, by his grace and mercy, by the power of his Holy Spirit, he restored me. He redeemed me. He took this heart of stone and made it into a heart of flesh, right? And there are certain things about Jesus that I just treasure, that I am astonished over, that I am amazed about, right? And I pray that we as a church would be astonished and amazed. Amen? And all of this brings us to the communion table. Now, we've been celebrating communion this whole Advent. And pretty much sometimes when we celebrate communion as often as we did, right, it could become kind of a routine, Right, but I want us really to think about what communion is about. I want us really to engage with the elements of the table. So hear these words from 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until I come again. Now hear these words. Whoever therefore eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this table. We thank you for these elements, the wafer, the grape juice in place of wine. I pray that you would set them apart, that they would be to our faith, your body broken, your blood shed. Lord, I pray that we would examine ourselves. That is, if anybody is in need of addressing a certain active sin in their life, that they would go and take care of that situation. Maybe you're holding a resentment and you're angry with a family or friend. Lord, let them go and take care of that and then come back to partake of the table, knowing that you would meet them and bless them in that decision. Or maybe there's someone here in a relationship that, which is something other than marriage, and they are cohabitating. And Lord, I pray for them because those are difficult decisions. And Lord, be with them as they make those decisions. Maybe somebody is working and they're receiving money under the table, trying to not get the tax burden on them. And Lord, I pray that they would rectify those situations. There are so many things that we can be doing that would actively put us engaged with sin. And Lord, all of us are in contact with sin. But we pray that as we partake of this table, that we are not actively in sin. So Lord, help us now as we commune with you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.